So lovely to be speaking to Janet Salisbury and Johanna McBride about an event put on by a chorus of women with Craig Saint-Roch and Miriam Pickard to commemorate and highlight Glenda Cloughley's work. It's called Glenda's Works and Days, a 2050 Futurespective. It's at the ACT Legislative Assembly Reception Room on Saturday, the 8th of November, 10:45 till 3:30 p.m. So I will call it an extravaganza because it's quite a big event. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, Barbie. It's great to be here.
Now, could I start with you, Johanna, to tell me what is so special about Glenda that this massive, wonderful event has been organised to speak about and show other people some of her ideas and her work? Why is she such a special person?
What a question.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she had a way of looking into the future, and she had a sort of a prophetic sensibility, we used to call it. And I think she has developed that also during her life with the people she met. I mean, she was a Jungian psychoanalyst, among many other things she was, but she was also particularly interested in the work of Maria Gimbutas, who was an archaeologist who was interested in the time in Europe before the Bronze Age. And she looked at the archaeological layers under the Bronze Age and could not find any signs of warfare or fortifications, which, she came to conclude that in Europe there had also been a time when there was no war, which was something that most people couldn't even imagine. So I suppose she was looking into the future to see how we could retrieve this way of being together as humans, because everybody had assumed, well, humans have always made war, and that's just as it is. I think that underlying belief and knowing has made her a very special person. And she was, of course, the one who got a chorus of women started when the invasion of Iraq was announced. And she thought, well, there are other ways of responding to conflict and aggression. And in fact, she responded to this war also in a way that was non-aggressive. She responded to it with a lament rather than with another protest. Everybody was protesting. So she was different.
Different, yes, and with such vision, and gosh, those hopes for the retrieval of a peaceful society where we can resolve our differences, and we will always have differences, but resolve them with words and with listening. Janet, Glenda was involved in a lot of organizations, and of course, you're one of the leading lights, I will call you, in the Women's Climate Congress. And climate and climate action are related to actions for peace in many ways, and in issues such as refugees and asylum seekers, certainly in warfare. Tell me your sense of Glenda's importance to you personally and to the Canberra community, and then a much bigger, wider, grander scale that we can envisage for this.
Yes, gosh, these are really big questions. Glenda definitely was, and a chorus of women and the work we've been doing together over many years were the inspiration for me founding the Women's Climate Congress. And I mean, I first joined a chorus of women. I wasn't there at the very first time when they sang in Parliament in 2003, but I did hear that on the radio and I kept that in my heart. And I joined in 2006. And I mean, I come from a science background, so it was immediately a really important thing for me that as soon as I stepped in the door, as it were, at a chorus of women, it brought home to me sort of a missing link that had been missing in my science communication. And I was also very interested in public engagement, especially around issues of disagreement, where we tend to get polarized debates happening. And I realized the arts played this really important role in helping to connect us to our common humanity. And I mean, Glenda was just one of those people who, as soon as you arrived, she was so intellectually lively that she just wanted to know what made you tick. And so, you know, she had a way of kind of bailing you up in a really loving way and sort of getting it out of you what made you tick. So this was to me, and I just felt I'd found a new home, you know, a whole new opening up all these new ideas. And I had joined very much because I was really interested in peace and human rights. But even though I came from a science background and I knew about climate change, not long after I joined, we started, Glenda sort of had read Tim Flannery's book, The Weathermakers, and started to bring climate change into our weekly philosophy meetings, which we have at a Chorus of Women that have happened ever since its founding in 2003. And then that, of course, joined up another whole load of dots about what we talk about now is peace on earth, but peace with the earth. And you cannot have peace on earth without peace with the earth, and you can't have peace with the earth without peace on earth. So the two things are incredibly interconnected. And I think that was another thing that Glenda, in her big mind, was an early adopter of realizing that these different human movements, the environment movement, the peace movement, the animal rights, you know, they're all very interconnected, and we need to be thinking broadly across these different movements. And as Johanna said, she also had this strong sense, because she had also studied a lot of Greek mythology and looked into this European prehistory, a strong sense of connecting us to the stories in our past, our settler Australian past, where we'd come from, that would connect us to the type of stories that First Nations people have in Australia, the stories that teach you how to live in harmony with each other and in harmony with nature. But we have tended to lose contact with those stories in industrialized societies. And she, both through the sort of European prehistory that Johanna mentioned, and also her deep understanding of Greek mythology, she was trying to reconnect us with those stories. And she had a particular story in relation to climate change that she made into her big choral work, The Gifts of the Furies, which we will be presenting a little bit of in this event at the weekend.
One of the things that I always felt about Glenda in dealings I had with her during events and where things had to be managed was that she was very much about solutions for things. So if you would go to her and say, "We've got this issue happening," she would say, "What do you need? What do you need us to do? What do you need?" And that was always for me such a generous approach. And also, in terms of the reality of making us harmonious with one another, it was such a sound approach to other human beings. So there could be chaos and things going on all over the place. And she just simply got to the nub of what it is that you need to make things work. Now, this is a massive event. It's long and it's multifaceted and multi-sectioned. And it includes a look at Glenda's ideas and a look at the philosophy of harmony. And it will also have audience reflections, conversation. There's catering going on, and there's a connection with another event, which is to do with the Jungian Society, a talk. But you've got these other two people, Craig and Miriam, involved. What will their role be in the overall production, Johanna?
It's a little bit different to the way we were hoping because both Craig and Miriam have had big things happening in their lives, but they both have had really wonderful and wise input into the development of the event. Just to say briefly, Janet really and Sue mainly developed the story, the script of what we're going to present in the morning. And I really love the concept of that because at first they said, "Oh, let's have a retrospect to memorialize Glenda." And I said, "Glenda would so not want that. Glenda would say, 'Get on with it. What needs to happen next?' You know?" So we came up with this title, Futurespective, rather than Retrospective. And so Janet and Sue have developed the script where there is a grandma and a granddaughter in 2050. And the grandma is the daughter of, say, of Janet. And the granddaughter is the granddaughter of Janet's daughter when you talk about generations. And they're in 2050. And they're looking back into how terrible it was and how really humanity and the planet are now on a path to well-being. And this was actually one of Glenda's ideas. Glenda said a few years before she died, she said, "I think I've got one more project in me, and it'll be in the future. And humanity has managed to survive on the planet, and I will put the question, what had to happen to make this possible?" So we are trying to honor Glenda by trying to answer this question. We can't answer it like Glenda. We'll have to answer it in our own way. We are using Glenda's music as illustrations of how she has influenced us with her idea of the wellsprings, this underlying goodness that is always there and never goes away, no matter how grim things are. And then there's the story of the grandma and the grandchild, and there's also a present-day narrator. So we've woven it together, quite complex. So we're doing that in the first half. And in the second half, we're going with the flow. We're presenting some of our music, and Craig will tell a short summary of what he will have presented to the Jung Society about the Eleusinian mysteries. I can tell you more about that if you want to. Glenda was very interested in them. And then Miriam will also tell a beautiful story of her connection with Glenda and her current experience as a mum in becoming.
Well, what a rich day that is. And then, as I said, the night before, isn't it, the 7th, there is the mystery of the mysteries, a talk in honor of Glenda Cluffley on the Jung Society's 41st anniversary. Gosh, that's another group that has survived the slings and arrows, etc. Can you tell me a little of that event, which is a preface to yours?
So the Jung Society was, of course, also something that Glenda got going in Canberra. And so they are honoring her in their way. And they've invited Craig to present Mystery of Mysteries, which is really a talk on the Eleusinian mysteries, which is one of those things Glenda was really fascinated with. It was a ritual in ancient Greece, and it was participative. So the essence was to be in it and to take part, and you were not allowed to give anything away of what you'd experienced. But famously, anyone who came out of those mysteries no longer was afraid of death. So must have been something that they experienced themselves as a part of the.
About the cycles of death and renewal and regeneration that we're all part of in nature, and that Glenda really internalized into her dying, actually. She was the most amazing way that she faced her own illness and the end of her life, that she brought that deep connection to knowing that the regenerative cycles of life go on and death is part of that.
I can see that the day, the whole day, not only will have taken an enormous amount of work, but that on the day it will be a very emotionally gripping experience, not just for the audience, but for all of the performers. And I wonder, really, when you're presenting something like that, that is so much from your heart, from your own experience, an outpouring of grief in some ways and joy in other ways, how you, as individuals and as a group, a chorus of women, will manage yourselves, manage your emotional safety and calmness. I know that if it were me, I would be, I suppose, really needing to govern all the thespian nature of oneself in order to not be very teary and very broken voiced.
I guess we have had a couple of run-throughs. I mean, and it often is the case. I mean, this is a particular case because it's about Glenda, and we have audio of her voice speaking, and we have some videos, clips of her. But always in chorus, in a way, we have had very emotional content, and we've often said over the years that you have to get your tears out of the way in the rehearsal time so that when you go to the audience, you can make that direct connection without your own sort of feelings being too sort of in the fore. So we have had a couple of run-throughs of the presentation, and we're still refining it in some ways. Yeah, and there's been a few tears shed.
Yeah, it's quite
Yeah.
a raw thing to do that performance for other people. Some of them will be strangers about someone who was so much a part of your own self and your own life. And yeah, it is then that it becomes performance, but you don't want it to be performative, I think.
So all we can do is just try and be present as we are.
I think a difficult day ahead for some people, but very beautiful at the same time. People must book because the room there, the reception room, is not a vast auditorium and the tickets are through Humanitix, but all those Humanitix sites are so long and complicated. So if people go into Humanitix and just type in Glenda's works and days, they will come up with the right link.
They
Now,
can also go on our website. It's
onto
quite.
Chorus of Women.
Yes, it's on the website.
And it's a very inexpensive day. And so you are asking that if people book and then they can't come for whatever reason or can't come to all of it, that they let you know so that someone else can take their place because you're expecting people not to be able to get in when they want to. And you've got to cater and feed people and so on. So that's very important that if you can't come, you cancel. Don't expect refunds, but cancel so that someone else can enjoy and regard the ticket as a donation to humanity, I think, and to the goodness of the world. And it is a very inexpensive price to pay for such goodness to be shed and shared.
As we're speaking, Barbie, we only have 9 tickets left.
Maybe I need to put a note on the bottom of our website and say, hurry, hurry, hurry.
And also, if people do find, because there's a few different categories of tickets, if their category of ticket comes up as sold out, to contact the host, because I can shuffle the tickets around a bit too. That's getting to that stage.
Sure. Well, you certainly don't want to be turning people away if you
No,
can
we're
help
not.
it.
We'll
But
try not to turn them away.
but wonderful that it's been so well taken up by the Canberra community for a very important event, not just because of Glenda and remembering Glenda and thinking about her obvious reaction, which would be, well, what are you doing? What do you need? What do we need, as I said, to do in order to make things work? But it's also that she was a significant person in the big world and that the ideas that she's shared with everyone who came in contact with her do provide a different way of looking at things, particularly when we're all a little bit discouraged about some things that are going on in the world and things that aren't happening that we feel should be. And it's good to have that bigger vision and a more prophetic vision, as you say, that goodness is possible. Thank you, Janet. Thank you, Johanna. I'm sure the day will be beautiful.
I just want to say one last thing that was one of my favorite questions of Glenda's. She would often say, "What wants to come into being?"
Yeah, what a good place to finish.
Thank
Thank you
you.
both so much.